Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Won't you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, as we gather together today and marvel at the mysteries of faith, reveal to us through Jesus Christ all that you would have us understand about Christian life and service, as it points and leads us to a greater knowledge of you, your Son Jesus, and the blessed work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Merry Christmas! It's wonderful to be able to be celebrating Christmas. Some of you might be thinking, now wait a minute, Pastor, I know that Christmas was kind of just behind us a little bit, right? December 25th, but you know, really, we want to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, as you might have heard sung about in that song, the 12 days of Christmas my true love gave to me. Yeah, 12 days of Christmas. There's a lot to be excited about when you extend Christmas out for 12 days. I mean, you think, certainly that means, kids, you're thinking 12 times the presents, right? That would be great. And then maybe it is that you're also thinking, like this person here in the cartoon, Mr. Johnson, about our vacation day on Christmas, there are really 12 days of Christmas, you know. Wouldn't that be great? 12 vacation days or all the more time off. Well, certainly we know that the best thing about Christmas is indeed the reason why we gather to celebrate, why we're able to even come together as a family of God, and it's all about Jesus Christ. Certainly, we kind of pick up in our gospel lesson today how this all begins with the birth of Christ and how we see that Jesus is being brought into the temple on the eighth day to fulfill all righteousness. And so that, you know, all of the traditions and all that was written in the scriptures could be carried out. And so it is that he's being circumcised here, and Simeon is at the temple too. Simeon is there and he's worshiping and he's praying and he receives a special revelation from God that he would not die until he's seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon, he does indeed get to see Jesus. And he sings us his song that we sometimes call the Nunc Dimittis, Latin for this, now dismiss. And he sings this because, well, really, this is what Simeon is saying. He's saying, it doesn't get any better than this right here. There is absolutely nothing else on earth that I could do or see or experience that could be better than what I have right now before me holding in my hands. And so Simeon sings this song and he says, Lord, you can take me now, dismiss me, I can go in peace. He says, it doesn't get any better than this. Similarly, we sometimes in traditional services, we say the Nunc Dimittis after Holy Communion. Why do we do that? Well, because we look at what we have in our very hands and we say, God, it doesn't get any better than this. How indeed can anything on earth top what it is that I'm holding in my hands right here, just like Simeon? The very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so afterwards, we say too, Lord, we can depart right now. Dismiss us in peace. There is nothing else on earth here to see or do that could be better than this. And I hope you keep in mind that Simeon's song, his words here, as you come up today to this rail, and Jesus is placed in your hands. Now, we don't understand exactly how that happens. I mean, can I explain that to you, how Jesus can be present and in with and under this bread and wine? And I don't know. I'm not sure. Because it's a mystery of faith. But what we do know is that we believe it because God promises us. God tells us that this is what is taking place in the Holy Supper. And so in faith we trust. And in faith we say, yes, Lord, I believe. And, you know, really we join the great heroes, the men and women of the Bible, in not really having the whole thing figured out or, you know, understood. It's kind of comforting to us sometimes, isn't it, not to know that, you know, people like Simeon, this great man of faith, he didn't really have the whole thing figured out either. He didn't know how it was that this consolation of Israel was going to come about and take place. But yet when he held Jesus in his hands, then it was revealed to him and he was able to sing. You know, sometimes, and for a very specific reason, a little bit by little bit by little bit is revealed to us as we go along in life. You're probably like me, and when you read the Bible again and again, or this part of Scripture, you hear it, and you know, maybe you see something that you didn't see the first time, or maybe it is that, oh, this is how all of this works together in conjunction, or it is that a little bit more of the mysteries of faith are revealed to you finally. Well, certainly there are many mysteries, and there's a lot of reasons why it is that maybe all things aren't revealed to us right away. And one such reason for maybe holding back or not on the outside revealing some of the mysteries are because of persecution in the church throughout the years. There's been much persecution far back and even close by, and yet even still going on today. Where in certain places, people are not allowed to speak of and proclaim the good news of the gospel, lest they actually lose their head. And we are grateful and thankful that here in this great country of ours, that we are able to openly and boldly proclaim the faith for now. And certainly we thank God for the ability to march forward and shout this good news of Jesus from the mountaintops. But there have been some that have suggested that certain hidden truths about the faith have been communicated over the years through song. Because of persecution, they couldn't outright speak of the gospel. And so there's a bit of a debate going on, and some will tell you that the 12 days of Christmas actually holds a deeper hidden meaning than all of those things we normally sing about that our true love gave to us. Some would say, well, no, people just made that up later on, and it sounds like a really good story. And to be honest with you, I don't care. You know, whether or not the original 12 Days of Christmas song was put together with those things in mind or not, still we can use them today for a reminder, for a method to be able to engage in Christian catechesis or instruction and learning, and be able to point us to and take us to the greater truths of the gospel. And so it is that I'm going to walk you through today what some believe may be the meaning of some of those days of Christmas and the gifts that we are given by our true love. Who is that true love? Well, we do know as Christians that there can be no other, greater, no better true love than God Himself, one who has given us absolutely everything, held nothing back from us for our good. It is God who gives us every good gift from His generous and gracious hand. And so as we walk through these 12 days today, I want to warn you that at the end of them, we are going to sing the song. So I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up and so forth. But for now, we want to think about each day and what it means. That partridge in a pear tree that we receive on that first day. Well, maybe it could lead us to think about and to remind us about Jesus. How it was that our Lord was put up and hung in a tree for our benefit. He is indeed the reason why we can sing a bold song today, is it not? Everything starts with Jesus. He is the Alpha. He is the one who comes to us sacrificing everything and giving us His true love. And so we say together, what are these that are but one? Men, we have one God alone. Women, in heaven above sits on His throne. The second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Well, maybe you didn't receive turtle doves, but you do have in your possession the Old and the New Testaments. those great gifts from God, the Holy Scriptures, which center around Jesus. He is indeed, after all, the central figure of all the Scriptures and everything that has to do with life. The Old Testament points ahead to him and his redemptive work on the cross, and the New Testament points back to what he has done and accomplished for us. Yes, indeed, it is all about Jesus. What are they which are but two? Two testaments, the old and new. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me maybe French hens, maybe faith, hope, and love, a greater idea to keep our minds affixed upon here. These three theological virtues. And from 1 Corinthians, we know that faith, hope, and love do exist and come to us, but the greatest of these is love. What are they which are but three? The fourth day of Christmas, maybe not calling birds, but we can be reminded of the four Gospels, the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how it is that they sung a beautiful song of their Savior. We too can join them in sharing and singing that good news to all the ends of the earth. What are they which are but four? Four sweet evangelists there are. And of course, five golden rings, but we think of the five books of the Old Testament, the five first books, sometimes called the Pentateuch, the first books of Moses here written, certainly do contain the history of man. Everything was created good, but then also details man's fall into sin, how it is that we rebelled from God and turned away from him. And yet, even in the midst of that, God makes a very clear, distinct promise to us, a promise to send a Savior, one who would rescue us, one who would triumph and crush the head of the serpent. Yes, Jesus comes and fulfills that, and the books of Moses then look ahead to that coming Savior, one who would be, as Simeon is looking for, the consolation of Israel. What are they which are but five? On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying, which may remind me of the 6 days of creation, that which is giving birth to all that we know, God doing this by his mighty word, word that has the power just by speaking, and out of nothing, all that he desires can come forth. He spoke it, and it came to be, just like when we are nothing, dead in our sins and trespasses. He speaks over the waters of holy baptism, and faith is created in our hearts. We can think of all creation, and we know that God calls it good, and especially when he makes us life, he calls it very good. And so we hold up life as very being precious and sacred, and how we keep life then, as something that we want to uphold and protect. What are they which are but six? Seven swans a-swimming. Maybe seven, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As it is that we look here and recognize that we receive gifts of prophecy and ministry and teaching, an exhortation, giving and leading, and also compassion. What are they which are but seven? Seven arts hath God sent down. Eight. We can be reminded of the eight Beatitudes. Eight is a significant number in the church, in numerology. We have eight sides to our baptismal font. We look to eight to represent new creation, a new beginning, new life, and how it is that God blesses us. The Beatitudes actually mean blessed, right? And so it is that we think that the blessed, because we're told by Christ in Matthew chapter 5 as he communicates the Sermon on the Mount, we call it, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourning, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What are they which are but eight? Eight Beatitudes are there given. And maybe not then ladies dancing, but love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control we live in our lives. As God gives us this gift, and when we can't fulfill that perfectly, we know that we receive the power from God to be forgiven, renewed, and restored each day. What are they which are but nine? And if you're guessing ahead as to what number 10 is, maybe some of you have come up with the Ten Commandments. What I want to do now is recite all 10 commandments, but I'm going to ask you to do just the first three with me, the first three right now. Together, you shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We put the Ten Commandments into two different tables. We think of them as divided in two, one section of them being all that indicates our relationship with God, right? Mankind's vertical relationship as we look to God, our Father, and certainly then 4 through 10, a different type of relationship. How it is that we interact and love one another. We do so here. We recite 4 through 10 together. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. What are they which are but 10? The 11 faithful apostles we think of. We think of those who worshiped and praised and served their Lord, but not always perfectly, sometimes wavering as we do, but they received then strength from God and forgiveness from Him as we do as well to keep on going and proclaiming His good news. And so we consider how Simon Peter and Andrew and James, John and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Bar-Alpheus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, Bar-James, all were members of this 11. Now that bar word there, the Hebrew for son of, so it's actually Judas, the son of James. As we look to them as an example of how we too can go forth and proclaim a great faith. What are they which are but 11? And finally, the 12th gift that my true love gave to me. As we together are reminded of the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed, how we proclaim our faith as a response to what God has given and done for us, that we stand up, and in the worship service, this is the one point that we are not speaking to God in the worship service. Instead, this is a statement of faith that we make to one another about God. We're speaking to each other. We're saying, I stand here before you today, my brothers and sisters, and I proclaim this faith that God has given me and this truth about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we do so today. I ask you, what is the first that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What is the second that you believe? In Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord. What is the third that you believe? Blessed is What is the fourth that you believe? What is the fifth that you believe? What is the sixth that you believe? What is the seventh that you believe? What is the eighth that you believe? What is the ninth that you believe? What is the tenth that you believe? What is the 11th that you believe? And what is the 12th that you believe? This is almost certainly true. What are they which are but 12? Well, maybe the song isn't quite done yet, because we are going to sing it here all the way through, if you would. Actually, just the last part where we start at 12 and work our way on down to 1, kind of holding there a little bit on number 5. So I'll actually have you say the 12th day of Christmas by True Love Gave to Me, and then from 12 down to 1. Now, it would be awfully funny if you just went silent and left me up here singing all by myself. I wouldn't be happy, but I'd recognize that it would be funny. Don't do that. As everybody join in together, if you would, in response when I ask you, what did your true love give to you on the 12th day of Christmas my true love gave to me? 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. Let us pray.